Hey, good morning, guys. Wow. Good to be here. Thanks for having me. My assignment should be pretty simple this morning. We don't have a lot of time on a Sunday morning, but the whole purpose, the Bible says, that we don't forsake ourselves from assembling is in order that we stir one another in love and good works. See, the whole purpose of our Christianity isn't just to get something from God, it's to become something because of Him and actually live your life this way. It's amazing how easy it is to get your motive or your understanding misinformed to where your whole motive and pursuit of God is just to get through life, get a blessing, get provision, pray for those that you care for protection. It's not that those things are wrong, but that is barely the point. Like, you can get self-consumed, you can be a Christian for your sake, and in Scripture, there's no such thing. And the people that don't make the shift in that motive, they experience a lot of emotions like fear and worry, anxiety, discouragement, despair. That's a sure sign that you're not seeking first the kingdom of God. See, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, then you're seeking first the kingdom of God. How's that for a revelation? I can't say it any other way. He says not to worry about your life. If you're a Christian for your own gain, your own sake, I don't believe you could tell me and look me in the eye and tell me that you're blessed and you're living this amazing place. I believe life tends to look like this. Because you go with the highs and lows of circumstances, and things eat your lunch, and things get the best of you. You following what I'm saying? When you're living first for the kingdom of God, and I want to explain it. See, we have the Spirit of God in us, and the Bible makes no mistake about it. He says that we can walk in the light as He's in the light. Ephesians, that's in 1 John 1. Ephesians 5 says to walk in love, be like little children and walk in love just as Jesus loved. Like, it's not making any exception. It's not saying somewhat like or get close to. What Jesus wants to do is put His life inside of you and reproduce who He is in you so that manifestation can cover the earth with His glory. And if you take all of us and we all get in this race and we all get on this team and we all lock arms, that's called an army. Now, if you're a Christian for your sake, you won't walk in the glory of what I'm talking about. You'll just walk in the circumstances of life and you'll be doing as good as things are going. And how you are and how you're doing will be dictated by how things are going instead of who He is in you and why. See, that's a whole higher motive where circumstances have no power over your life, your emotions, your disposition, or your attitude. See, a lot of people suffer the highs and lows of life. There's no such thing in Christ. He never changes. I mean, Jesus took a hit, man. From our view, if you're looking at Jesus, it's good we weren't in His shoes. We wouldn't have handled it. He's disregarded constantly. He's backbit constantly. His own family thought He was crazy. Come on. He's speaking truth every day of His life, getting criticized for it, and ultimately crucified for His words. He never said a word. He let men hit Him, batter Him, and crucify Him to pay the price to restore what I'm talking about this morning. It must be important to Him. To set such an example that He could look over His shoulder at us and say, hey, follow me. We've turned it into pray to me so we can go to heaven, pray to me so we can get what we need, pray to me for trouble to stop. He's saying, follow me. Don't let your attitude slip when you're disregarded. If they hit you, turn the other cheek. If they want your shirt, go ahead and give them your cloak too. Or if they want your cloak, give them your shirt too, however you want to interpret that one. What He's saying is, follow me. I want the manifestation of God on the earth through your life. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the... And he told us to follow him and said the things he does will do if we believe. So what's the point? He's getting our life back to the place where we reveal the Father through the Spirit of God that's in us, that he paid for to be in us, that even though we failed, we're living as if we never failed. Even though we messed up, we're living as if we've never messed up. Even though we were in the dark, now we're in the light. Come on, this is a way greater motive than just trying to get through life and using God as a tool. Some people feel indebted to God, like they owe him because they believe the cross, they believe the gospel, but they get this wrong view and they feel like, oh man, he did all that, I owe God, I gotta pay him back. They feel indebted to God instead of relational with God. The reason he did what he did on the cross is because he loves us. He knows who he created us to be. He knows what we're all called to be. And he knows what we'll look like if he's in us and we're surrendered. See, sometimes we come to him, but we don't deny ourselves. We come to him for what we can get from him. I'm encouraging you today that that is never scriptural and it'll never produce good fruit. You won't see the kingdom of God through that motive. See, motive is, it's that simple, perspective. If he can change the way I see, he'll change the way I be. I'll interpret everything through that motive. If I'm on the earth, watch this. If I wake up this morning and I'm on the earth to shine as a light and I'm not on the earth to get a fair shake, that changes everything. If I'm on the earth to get a fair shake, I'm only doing as good as I get a fair shake. If I'm on the earth for you to love me, I'm as good as you're loving me. If I'm on the earth to do you right, or for me to, am I on the earth for you to do me right, I'm only as good as you're doing me right. And if you don't do me right, I have a reason for being whatever it is I'm being. But none of it's Christ. Are you following me? Come on, in our marriages, we're notorious for this in our marriages. We expect from one another. We need from one another. We're in our marriage sometimes, and it's revealed in time that we're really in our marriage for what we can get from the marriage, not how we can lay down our life in love. That's why we're frustrated. That's why there's silent treatments. That's why there's unresolved conflicts. That's why there's marriage counselings. Ooh, it's really quiet. Come on, if I wake up for my wife to love me, I'm as good as she's loving me. I might as well call her Lord. All of a sudden, my whole life is revolving around how people are treating me instead of who he is in me and why. Come on, I'm on the earth to shine, not be loved by you. I'm on the earth to walk in love and follow Jesus and live by his Spirit, not to be treated kind by you. And if I get that mixed up, I'm only as good as you're treating me. So you're dictating my life, you're the potter of my life, and you're the reason for my life, and you become the excuse for my life. When the whole time I'm on the earth to shine and manifest Christ to you. Are you with me? If he said, walk in love just as Jesus loved, that's just as Jesus loved. That's in Ephesians 5, verse 1, and it says, and gave up himself as a sweet, fragrant offering unto God. So we're going to walk in love as dear children, just as Jesus loved and gave himself. What's he tell us? If you're going to follow me, you have to what? See, this is nothing new. I preach this everywhere I go on purpose. Because it's foundational. If you don't come in this way, you won't walk this thing out clean. If you come into the gospel for any other reason, you won't see the fruit that he paid for. Like if your motive is any other reason, if you make something matter more than what matters most, then the fruit of your life will dictate that. That's why people get bewildered and discouraged. That's why they get weary in well-doing. Why? Because there's a string attached to their motive. There's something else in it than for him. Are you all with me? Strangely quiet, like it feels uncomfortably quiet to me. Conviction's a good thing. Please hear what I'm saying this morning. My whole assignment is to stir you in loving good works. If I wake up this morning to get anything from you to make me okay, then I'm subject to that, and I'm vulnerable to that, and I'm dictated by that, and I'm only as good as that, and now my identity's wrapped up in you. My identity should never be wrapped up in you. I'm to love you and value you and appreciate you, and I can only do that cleanly if I see who I am this way. And when I see how he sees me, now I know he sees you that way. When I see how he loves me, forgives me, and shows me mercy, now I realize, man, that's exactly what he does for you. All of a sudden, it empowers me to give you the same thing I'm receiving from him. Are you with me? If I miss that and muddy that up, and now I just go to church because, you know, I should probably serve the Lord. You know, I probably should get back to church. You know how people talk? They have children, and now they're like, you know, we probably should start going to church since we have the kids. People talk like this, and their motive has nothing to do with truth. And it sounds sincere, but it won't produce the fruit that he paid for. We have this great privilege of being the steward of our own hearts. I'm not the steward of your heart. You are. But I can sure speak into it. You don't have to receive it. You can resist it. You can hear it. You can consider it. You can do whatever you want. But here's the reality. You have this great privilege of being the steward of your own heart and doing what you decide to do with what you believe is truth. But the reality is you know them by their fruits. So the fruit of your life, if it's not producing Christ, then you got to go back to the root and look at what motivates my life. Why am I here? What makes me tick? Why do I wake up in the morning? Just because I wake up, because I'm alive and on the earth? Why am I alive on the earth? Because I have a purpose in God, and I've been created for his image, and I've been made in his value, and he restored that truth that was lost through sin. He took sin off of me and put his life back inside of me. I have a whole different reason for being than I ever had before. All of a sudden, nobody owes me a thing. All of a sudden, my own wife can't break my heart. Why? Not on the earth to be loved by her. I'm on the earth to be loved by him and love like him. Oh, that makes you free. See, if I'm just in my marriage and 50-50, a lot of work, speak each other's language, forgive me. I'm not trying to bash curriculum out there, but I'm very concerned about curriculum out there. Because all of a sudden you have needs and she has needs and he has needs and now we're compelled to meet those needs. Where are we getting that stuff? I'm fulfilled in him. And all of a sudden if I have needs and you're not fulfilling those needs and you're my spouse, now you become the reason I'm not fulfilled. And now I have a reaction to that and now you should be corrected for not feeding me. Not clean. That's not clean. And all of a sudden you have, see, I've been in these counseling appointments where spouses believe that stuff. And then all they do is finger point each other and they each other's the reason that they're the way they are. So they might as well just call that person Lord of their life. See, if Jesus was a product of men, he'd be insecure. He'd be broken. He wouldn't want to get back in the saddle and preach. Come on. But he knows who he is. He knows where he came from, and he knows where he's going. And he ain't moved by the deception of men. He ain't moved by the motive of men. He ain't even moved by the clubs and the whips and the beating of men. He is moved by the truth that's found in the Father, and he is the truth manifesting the Father. And he said, follow me. I'm all in. And I am not going to let a he said, she said, tit for tat, well, I feel, well, you shouldn't, well, how come, well, that wasn't fair, well, I don't know why. I am not going to let that eat my lunch. I'm not selling cheap. I'm not for sale. I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. We got to get that, guys. And it can't just be religious language. It can't be amen, Sunday. It has to be the way I live. I'm not my own. I love not my own life unto, then why are we so moved by what somebody said? By what somebody didn't say when he has spoken loud and clear? Come on, I'm just not going to sell cheap. I got one little life to live, man, and it's going quick. Look at the color of my hair. I just turned 61 and I don't even know what happened. Who's got me beat? Who's got me beat? There's a bunch of folks got me beat. You can't even relate to how old you are. Time, it just, you're telling stories 50 years old and it feels like yesterday. Am I telling the truth? Time is a wisp. Time is a vapor. Boom, boom, boom. You're to redeem it because time is short. We got this one little life, and make no mistake about it, we are all going to stand before him and answer and give an account for this life on what we did, whether good or bad. It's all scripture. It says, those that have this hope, watch, purify themselves even as he is pure. Not somewhat like. Wow. Those who really have this hope, faith rises out of that. They purify themselves even as he is pure. Not somewhat like. That's incredible. So are we living without being fear-driven? Are we living like we're going to stand before him because we truly believe him? Or are we living like we owe him something and we always feel like we're not paying enough, but we're doing our best and never really feel good about ourselves and not sure he's pleased? And come on, that's what people tend to do. This morning's all about stirring us up in love and good works. Your worship here is amazing. I leaned over to Pastor Kurt. I said, man, you got the brass here and everything. He said, oh yeah, we do that every Sunday. And I just loved it. I grew up, my dad was always a trumpet player. I grew up with a lot of brass playing in the house. And I like it. Saxophone's probably my favorite sounding instrument. So I heard it right away and I was like, whoa. He said, oh yeah, we do it. I looked around and I thought, man, you guys are going after it. I had actually, it's for the Lord, but I enjoyed it. So we come here. We're not just, it's just not because I'm a part of Central, or hey, I should go to church, and hey, I know we need to go to church, we ought to go to church, we should go to church. No, we're coming together with a group of believers that are celebrating a truth, and we're standing as one in a truth, and we're all going after a faith called the faith. In other words, we all have the same mindset. We all wake up for the same reason. Yeah? Come here real quick. I do it all the time. You've probably seen me do it before. If we're both attending here and we're both brothers in this house, you are not mixing us up. You ain't mistaking us. You ain't saying, hey, Dan. Oh, wait, you're not Dan. I always get you two mixed up. You ain't doing that, are you? Why? We don't look anything alike. But watch this. We can both look just like him. And that's what makes us one. And that's what makes us brothers. And that's what makes him our father. Because we can both shine and walk in the light, and we can both love. We can both lay down our lives and bring him glory. And we can both look just like him. Amen? Amen. And he paid the same price to live in you that way as he paid the same price to live in me that way. I'm going to be raw and narrow with you this morning because narrow is the way. It actually says confined is the way. Difficult, some translations say, is the way. And watch this. And few are those who find it. That part always perplexed me of Scripture. Few are those who find it. Wonder if it's many who attend church, but few who actually walk in what he paid for. I wonder if it's many who do ministry and go on mission trips and do good things, but few are those who actually walk in what he paid for. Narrow is the way. Confined and difficult is the way, and few are those who actually find it. When he's looking like Jesus and I'm looking like Jesus and he lives here and I live where I live in York, Pennsylvania, and somebody else is doing it up in Michigan and over in Nebraska, and all of a sudden you got people getting this thing and we're living the faith. Now God's got his revelation spread everywhere. You don't just have people singing in his name on a Sunday morning. So you can fill every church this morning, every seat of every church. And it doesn't mean it would change a thing about society. Now, pastors would be happy. Offerings would boost, maybe. Just have fun. But we would tend to think that if every seat was full in every church, that it was some kind of great success. It's not going to church that's the answer. It's becoming her. You could fill every seat of every church today, and it doesn't mean anything would change. But if half of the people that sat in those seats would become love, things would have to be noticed. Marriages would be rescued. Relationships would be restored. People would be forgiven, loved, reconciled. Oh. See, some of us, who knows receiving the love of God is huge? Who knows it's the first thing you need to do is be loved by God? Some of us just struggle with believing we're loved by God. Why is that struggle so prevalent in people? Because it's a demonic attack to keep you from stepping into first things first and seeing his love so that you love him. Because when that happens, guess what starts happening? You become that very thing, and all of a sudden you start loving this way. So the enemy's like, hey, I don't even care if they fill the church. Just make sure they don't love. Because if they don't love, then the whole point's missed anyway. They can go to church the rest of their life. If they don't love, then they've missed the whole point, because the goal of our instruction is love. Walk in love just as he loved. The point isn't to quote scripture. The point isn't to do your daily devotion without fail for the next 25 years. The goal is becoming love. You can get religious. You can let knowledge puff you up, but love edifies. The goal is becoming love. And when I look at love in my Bible, love doesn't seek its own. Love takes no account of the wrong that's been done to it. How much account? No account. How much? None. Then why are we talking about all the stuff? Why is the stuff the reason for me not being like him? Why is what one person did dictating my life when what one person did is having no voice? Why is that my story when he's my truth? Come on, I'm just here to motivate you and tell you there is a place so powerful, so untouchable, and so unbreakable, but it takes faith to get there, and it's called the faith. It's you and I believing the same thing about why he came. Yeah? Not fighting over the gifts and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and whether God does miracles. Not even talking about that. I'm talking about the faith, who we are now that he came, and why we are now that he came. See, Satan's roaming around like a roaring lion. He's just seeking whoever he can devour. He's looking for loopholes, weakness, lack of understanding. He's looking for any way to get you there, but not there. It says you resist him standing steadfast, not in faith, in the faith. It's different than believing for a healing, different than believing for a promotion. Faith is a tool in your belt to see a mountain move. The faith is a perspective we're all supposed to have and understand. It's different. Obedience to the faith, built up in the faith, established in the faith, striving for the faith. It's different than faith to move a mountain. The faith is a mentality we're all supposed to have. We're supposed to all have this surrendered mentality that I stepped into something, and to step into something, I stepped out of something. I stepped out of the old attitudes, the old self-centered, the old me, myself, and I. Well, that hurt. Well, that offended me. Well, that bothered me. Well, they should have never. Well, I wouldn't if they didn't. No, step out of darkness and into light. Yeah? Come out from among them. And be ye separate. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Not sing to me, pray to me when your list gets big. Follow me. Come on, I know I'm always intense. I can't help it. It's just the way it is. You say, oh, you can help it. You have no idea. It's what I see that makes me intense. He paid for this. And he ain't playing. He paid with flesh and blood. He was mistreated beyond measure. The most unjust thing that ever happened to a man happened to him, and he said nothing and took it. He didn't call a counseling appointment. He didn't sit down and say, I can't do this. This is too much. How much is a man supposed to take? Well, you can only take so much. You try to run all that by Jesus and see if it's true, because he's the one we're following. And if you'll keep your eyes on him, he will give you grace to follow. If he invited you and said, follow me, he will empower you on the journey if you keep your eyes on him. If you make it about you, if you make it about how you feel, if you make it about what you've been through and my story, you know what it's like when I was growing up and you can't believe what my spouse did to me, it'll never happen. And you'll be in all the right places living from all the wrong things. And you'll think hanging around him is enough. Well, there's people in the Bible that he said he didn't know. And they said, well, didn't we eat with you? Didn't we sup with you? Didn't we stand and listen to you in the streets? Look, I'm not saying this in a harsh way. It's sobering. You can be in all the right places and coming from all the wrong things. And the fruit in your life reveals your motive. How you respond to situations is a barometer to show where you're living from. How you react to people and things shows what really makes you tick. Man, this would just wipe all the animosity out of our lives. It takes one to pursue peace. It takes two to tango and have an issue.
Come on, that's good.
This would just make every home amazing. Even if there's a spouse in the home that doesn't even care or have a clue. It takes one to follow him. It takes one to pursue peace. One in Christ is a majority. And here's what we haven't understood. And I'm not saying this to you in a rude way. I'm saying at large. I'm not saying central. But here's what we haven't understood. Self-centeredness is the biggest lie, biggest wretch, and biggest reason for not manifesting Christ. And we were never created for it. And it's what we cling to the most. It's the biggest lie on the earth. It's the most wretched thing. It's the biggest problem on the planet. It's not the devil. The devil works with self-centeredness. The devil is not the biggest problem in your life. Politics is not the biggest problem in your life. Trust me, that's not even close. But boy, that sure gets people burning, revealing they have nowhere near the heart of God. Politics, just bring the colors out in a man. Show how shallow we really are. Man. It's self. It's what he paid to get rid of and what he modeled, selfless, that he told you to follow. And he said, if you're going to follow me, you got to do this. You got to deny yourself. You can't make this about you. You can't even come to me for you. You can't come to me because your marriage is hurting. What are you going to do when your marriage gets better? Just be thankful or surrendered? See, people go through a struggle and they go to church. They go through a struggle and they read their Bible. Come on, he doesn't help us get through. He transforms our lives. Because we think he helps us get through, then we're good with just getting through. And we think getting through is the goal. Shining like him in the middle of it is the goal. Manifesting Christ is the goal, not getting through. Sometimes your trouble doesn't change. Who figured that out? Sometimes significant people in your life don't change. Who figured that out? You got to make sure that doesn't change you. Why? Because he's a rock and there's no turning or shifting of shadow. He's unmovable and unshakable, and you're on that rock. And no matter how much a storm beats on this house, it doesn't fall. Why? Because I get why I'm here. I know why he's in me. And this thing is narrow, and I found the way. Are you with me? Come on. And it is passionate. It is intense. Because you got to be careful you don't get lulled to sleep. Religion is subtle and sneaky. You can find out, you can wake up one day and find out you've been hanging around him for 30 years and don't really know him. You've been reading about him for 30 years on your own, before work, sincerely. But don't manifest him and don't realize that he wants to live in you and love through you. We're not here to survive. We're here to shine. In Christ, we already won. We already won. We can't lose now. Look, I'm never gonna die. I'm done being afraid. I don't even know what fear looks like anymore. You don't have to believe me because you don't live there. I'm telling you, I don't know what it looks like. Why? Because I don't wake up for me. I'm not trying to get by. I want to shine. I want to walk in love. So the situations come just like they've always come. But I see them different now. And everything is an opportunity to manifest him. So if you squeeze me, Jesus comes out. So I'm not picking a fight. I'm just not afraid of one. When you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. It'd be weird if it was apple. It should be weird if you squeeze a Christian and get everything but Christ. Boy, that ought to be weird. Wonder if the devil's learned, hey, yeah, they go to church. They're up on the worship team. La-di-da, yay, yay, squeeze. Wah! Squeeze. Wah! Holy squeeze. Wah! Holy. Wah! I think he has fun with it. I think he mocks through it. I think he's not intimidated at all how long we worship. I don't think he's moved by our overnight prayers. I don't even think he's moved by any of it. He's moved when he sees Christ in people, because that he can't defeat. He can't stop mercy, and he can't stop love. His mercy endureth forever, and his love never fails. And when we get that, we're going to be mighty in God and powerful on the earth. If we keep making it about us and how we feel and what we need and the wants of life and trying to get by and worried about our future and what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear, then we're missing all of Matthew 6, and no wonder we worry. Told you my assignment was easy. Now, here's the thing about a fella like me. You might not understand this. You blame your pastor for bringing me in. No, this stuff holds you accountable. Like, you're hearing this. Your heart is called to accountability. Like, what am I going to do with this? It locates your want to. It locates your contentedness. Am I content to just keep going through the motions and have highs and lows? Am I content to just keep drawing pieces of my identity through my friendships and my marriage? Or am I going to find myself in Christ and be untouchable and unbreakable in the midst of the normal trials that we all go through? Come on, we all go through trials. We all go through. Christianity isn't the end of our trials. It's usually the beginning. Because Satan could care less when you're just lollygagging in darkness. And now you start sniffing around the truth. He wants to break your sniffer. You start sniffing around truth. He wants to get you deceived. He wants you to get close but not in. He wants you to believe you're there, but you're not there because you're not manifesting him. You're still hurt by others. You're still in unforgiveness. You're still letting things matter. I've never seen a frustrated person shine. I've never seen a discouraged person shine. I've never seen somebody in unforgiveness shine. They always manifest what they are in the moment. I've never seen anyone with unresolved conflicts manifest Christ. Let your light so. Can I be really narrow this morning? You don't have to tell me yes, because I'm going to be. I was just being kind. The whole reason we're on the earth in Christ Jesus is to shine. He says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? How can they ever agree? You're in the light, and you walk in the light as he's in the light. Why? So you can let your light so shine before men. Why? Because light exposes darkness. Light manifests him, and it makes people see who he is and that he's good. So you might have a career, you might have an education degree, bravo, I'm not making light of that, I'm not saying those things are wrong, but don't miss the main reason you're here. Successful isn't a healthy IRA. Successful is walking in the light in the midst of your personal challenges. Success is walking in love like he loved you. The way he loved you is so that you love others the same. The way he showed you mercy isn't so you obtain mercy, it's so you're so overwhelmed and touched by it, you become merciful. Yeah? There's a man in the house serving in Matthew 18. He's not a pagan, he's not a Gentile, he's not unsaved. By the language, he's part of the house. His master forgave him everything he owed and released him of the debt he could never pay. Symbolic of what happened for us when we were forgiven of all our sins. That fellow servant, not Gentile, pagan, unsaved, that fellow servant went out and refused to forgive his fellow servant who owed him something. He said, please have mercy on me. I'll pay you when I can. I just don't have it right now. Is that the situation the man was in when the master forgave him? Was that the words of the man to the master? So now the man that owes him is saying the same thing he said to the master, but he didn't become like the master. He said, no way, man, you owe me. I've been waiting long enough. If you didn't pay me now, you probably going to try to get out of it and ain't even going to pay me. You need to pay me. And he said the man could not. So he had him thrown in prison till he paid what he owed. Now, in New Covenant terms, I think that is actually he shut him up in his heart. I mean, he might have physically put that man in prison in the story. But to us, what we glean from it is you shut somebody in the prison of your heart when you stereotype them as a debtor. When all you think about is what they owe you. How they didn't pay up. Now you mark them for what they've done. The master found out what he did. And what did the master say to him? Watch. This stuff is intense. You evil and wicked servant. Not outsider, not pagan, not unbeliever. You wicked and evil servant. I forgave you of everything you owed me. Should you not have done the same thing for what he owed you? The end state of that man was bound and tormented. I believe that's a condition and a state of your soul. When you're in unforgiveness, you're in torment. You're living a million miles from truth, from your created value, and from love. When you're in unforgiveness, you are as lost as you can be because God is love and mercy and forgiveness. In fact, he remembers our lawless deeds no more. So when you're in unforgiveness, you are the total flip side of the coin of why you're here. See, we don't talk strong enough from the pulpit like that. But it's sobering to me that unforgiveness is a direct violation of your created value, and it's anti-Jesus. And God said to the servant, you evil and wicked servant. Why? Because he's calling him out for where he positioned his heart. Does that mean he can't change? Does that mean there's no hope for him? What he's saying is where you're living is this. And he's letting us know as a sober reminder to never be found where that man was. Are you forgiven? Do you believe you're forgiven of everything you've ever done? See, the people that struggle with unforgiveness, the Lord showed me about 5-6 years ago with tears on my bed, that the people that struggle with unforgiveness don't see the joy of being forgiven. They don't realize they're clean. And because they haven't been impacted by the actual fact that they've been washed clean and seen righteous, that's why I preach on it so much, they can't see through those eyes. And they actually believe God has mixed views about them. So they see what's wrong in others because they believe there's something wrong with them. I asked the Lord, why do people have such a hard time forgiving now that you've forgiven us everything? He said, because people don't believe they're completely forgiven. So they haven't been impacted by the beauty of forgiveness. See, if you ever wake up in the morning and realize you're clean and God sees you as if you've never sinned, you've been made perfect in his sight. Guys, that's not heresy, that's scripture. Let's stop letting our actions take us out of grace and what he paid for. Let's take the time to wrap faith around what he paid for and put it on and look good in it enough to be changed by it. Let's stop talking around it and out of it and following each other instead of following him. Well, yeah, but brother, nobody's perfect. Why are you even saying that? That's not humble, that's false humility. Well, yeah, but we all sin, brother. Everybody sins. What are you even trying to accomplish? The Bible tells you to reckon yourself dead to sin. Why are you boasting in your ability to commit it? You're getting so deceived that you won't even put on what he finished, so you can't even start where he ended. And now you're fighting a battle that you can never win, and he already won. And we say we believe. Believe what? That we're going to heaven? Or that heaven's in us? There's a difference. Come on, I know this is intense, but it just feels that way to me this morning. There's so much language out there that has nothing to do with scripture, but it sounds spiritual, and we're so used to hearing it, we think it's right. You can't even hardly talk about righteousness nowadays without people getting red flag. What's he saying? Is he perfect? What's he saying? He doesn't sin? Because we all sin. Everybody sins. I mean, we're probably sinning right now. We just don't even know it. That's what people do. Am I making that up or is that real? People talk like that. You don't have to talk yourself down to lift him up. He's already there. And he told you to come up hither and sit at his right hand with Jesus in heavenly places. Read your Bibles. Don't just take the pastor's word for it. But this one's preaching the right stuff. That's why I've been back here 4 times, just because you need so much help. No. Because I respect you and love you more than you realize. You all right? Yeah. Come on, it's why we're on the earth. I don't think we'll ever realize what true freedom is. We can sing about it the rest of our lives. We'll never realize it until we become selfless. Self-centeredness is the biggest vice and biggest bondage that's ever been on the planet. It's a man living outside of his creative value and his purpose. You're on the earth to love. Self-centeredness is the counterproductive. It's the opposite. It's the flip side of the coin. It's the 180 degree difference. Love and self-centeredness. Watch, there's zero selfishness in love and there's zero love in selfishness. So when you're selfish and say, I love you, you're really saying, I need you, you benefit me, and I'm happy with you now. But don't change the way you're doing because you're doing me right, and don't jump ship because it'll break my heart and I don't know what I'll do without you if you change. We call that love and we're flattered by that language because we all need to feel like we're lovable and needed. Because we have this deficit apart from him. So I love you really means I need you most of the time. Because you can say I love you and have 3 children together and now you don't even speak and you're sure you hate one another and you live on other sides of the planet. So you prove to me that it never was love. Because love never fails. Yeah, but it's unreconcilable differences. You better be glad God doesn't agree with that. You better be glad God doesn't buy into your wisdom. Well, we're just incompatible. You better believe God doesn't. Be glad God doesn't believe that. You ought to run some of the stuff you say by him and see if it fits in his world. because he wants us to come out from among them and be ye separate. And only then will it matter, make a difference, and stand the test of time. Guys, this is why we're on the earth. And I promise you, one day, we're going to realize that nothing else mattered. And maybe I wasn't intense enough. And God forbid you wait for that day to realize what you were here for when you sat under the conviction for years. The just shall live by faith. So push away what everybody else is saying and doing that isn't cool and say, what am I going to do with him? Because that's what's going to matter when I stand before him. And I promise you ain't going to look at him and go, you know, I'd have
believed in you more if it wasn't for my spouse. Didn't you hear my prayers?
You won't even be able to think that, let alone speak that. You'll be like, duh. And you'll realize you let something matter way more than what mattered most. And you'll be found that you didn't believe like you said you believe, because you know them by their fruits. Come on, that's not harsh. That's just straight, plain, love you language. Do you realize I'm not here because I need to be? Do you realize, like, I'm not here for any other reason than I just wanted to be here? That offering thing we talked about, that's why a lot of times I wave it, because then it makes it totally clean and realized it's the only reason I'm here. Ain't that something? Now, we didn't do that this weekend. We didn't talk, and obviously he received some offerings and stuff. Last year, 70% of the churches I went to, I took no honorarium. I feel like God's taking me in a direction where I'm just coming because I want to be there, and there's no exchange of finances, because people get jaded and think, well, yeah, but there's something in it for you. I mean, you're earning a living. I am not here to earn a living. I'm here to cry out the convictions of my heart. This is a calling, not a job. Are you hearing me? If it was a job, I have about 1,000 invites. I go to 3% of my invites. I'm at Central Church for the fourth time in 7 years. Come on, I wouldn't be here if it was a job. I'd be picking out all the 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 congregations that make sure the pastors let me know how big they are. I'm here because I want to be. Why? Because everybody matters. You have a sphere of influence. You have a community. If half of us in this room sincerely get half of what I said and give yourself to it, it makes a significant, immeasurable change. If I walk in love and I just show love and mercy and make peace and forgiveness, and I'm doing that for the next 10, 15, 20 years, I'm going to be amazed how many valid seeds I actually sowed. I'm going to be amazed when I realize some of those things sprouted and I went to sleep at night and they just grew. And all of a sudden I stand before God and be like, how did you do it? And he says, because you worked with me, you co-labored with me, you surrendered. And the kingdom of God is if a man scattered seed, and if you scatter, it grows. Then we all rejoice together, we high five, and we sing holy for the next 1,000 years. And then what? Probably say, ah, that was good, let's do it another 1,000. Are you all okay? There's one reason you're on the earth, I promise you, one reason. It's not for your career, it's not for find a significant other. Those are all privileges of life. You're on the earth for one reason. You're on the earth to shine. And if we miss that, shining means walking in love. Let your light so. You're on the earth to shine. If you miss that, you're going to miss the reason you're alive. And you're going to make it all about you, your story, what you went through, the highs and lows. Next thing you know, you're 75 and you're writing a book, My Life, and it has no redemption in the story. You're on the earth for one reason, not two, one, to shine. If we miss that, we'll miss the whole reason that he hung on that cross, because he paid a price to put his life back inside of me so that I can walk in the light as he is. so that I can walk in love just as he loves. So I can purify myself even as he is pure. Let me give you one more and I'll close in prayer. We have this boldness. We know love is perfected in this. We have this boldness in the day of judgment because as he is, so are we in this world. You can't find one limitation on any of those scriptures. Are you all with me? Boldness in the day of judgment, on a day when men are crying out in fear and dread because they don't want to face the glory of who he is. It's called a day of dread and gloom for those who don't believe. We can have boldness in that day. Why? Because as he is, a whole chapter, he's love, he's love, he's love. As he is, so are we right now. So he comes and sees himself in us, and we agree, and he just scoops us up. We can have boldness when people are running in dread and fear. Why? Because they haven't lived their lives in truth, and they haven't lived their lives by faith, and they can't stand before him. Phew. See, I was always under the impression that no matter what, we're saved by the skin of our teeth because it's all mercy. But I can walk with him, live with him, and have a relationship with him. And I found stuff like that in my Bible where I'm going to have boldness in that day. That when he appears, I will appear with him in glory. Why? Because he is our life. That doesn't sound like uncertainty to me. That doesn't wonder what side of the line I'm going to end up on. I hope he remembers I prayed a prayer of salvation. I mean, I know I beat my wife a few times since, but I hope it matters that I prayed that prayer. Come on, don't you ride some fence. The devil owns the fence. On the earth for one reason. And what is it? To shine. Don't let anything deceive your heart. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. The word of God makes it plain. You're on the earth for one reason. So let your light so shine before men. Now's not the day to be discouraged, to have issues, unresolved conflicts. He said, she said. Now's the day to have him. Let's be the people of God, bought with a price. And let's manifest his great name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for grace. I thank you for empowering us to live this way. In Jesus' name. It's 10 on the button. I did really good. Really good. Can I have 60 seconds of something on my heart? 60 seconds. If you're sick in your body, we don't have time to do what we did last night, but it feels like we need to do this. If you're sick in your body and need healing, don't stand up. Just raise your hand where you're at. Raise your hand, please. This isn't religious. Believe me, I don't have any interest in religion. Raise your hand. If you're sitting near them, please. Just touch the side of their arm, touch a finger, touch a hand, please. Just somebody touch somebody that has a hand raised. Don't anybody alone. Just touch somebody. Say this with me. Say this over them. Say, be made whole in Jesus' name. Completely healed. No more sickness. No more symptoms. No more pain. No more weakness. Completely whole in Jesus' name. Because Father loves you. Amen? Amen. Believe me, that stuff matters. God does a lot of stuff when you believe like that. Amen.